left line. Do the walking.
The doors are closing. Train departing. Please hold on.
It's now time for the Portland Transit Lane Podcast, a weekly podcast that looks into the events of transit in Portland and what's ahead. Now, your host, transit expert, Lane Jensen.
Riding in a bus down the boulevard and the pace was pretty packed. Yeah. But a seesaw had to stand with the perverts in the back. It was smelling like a locker room. There was junk all over the floor. We're already packed in like sardines for stopping to pick up more.
Hello and welcome to episode number 11 of the Portland Transit Lane Podcast. I'm your host, Lane. Thanks for joining us. I apologize this is a little late for some of you. Had some technical difficulties overnight. Feel free to tweet me at PDX_TransitLane. Call me 971-238-7453. Email PortlandTransitLane@gmail.com. All valid options. Get a hold of me. Questions, concerns, comments, complaints, story ideas, you name it. I'm listening. So anyways, it's going to be a short introduction. Most of this podcast is going to be about our interview today with Joe Kunzler. He is ST3 fan Joe. He is actually from the Seattle area, and he is a huge fan of the Sound Transit 3 project. Now, here's the one problem with Sound Transit. On Friday, a story from the Seattle Times reported that Sound Transit improperly gave the email addresses of nearly 173,000 ORCA cardholders to the political campaign promoting Sound Transit 3. Now, here's the problem with that. So TriMet wants to go to this e-fare system where everybody uses email, yet one of the biggest transit agencies, Seattle, you know, Sound Transit, can't even keep their email secret. Because in Washington, they have laws against this, and Oregon does too. Washington, though, according to the Seattle Times, Sound Transit's sharing of the cardholders' information with the ST3 campaign may also violate two state laws, a legal provision that exempts governments in Washington from disclosing public transit pass holders' personal identifying information, and another that bars government agencies from using public resources to promote a political campaign. Now, Oregon has the same similar rules, so if Sound Transit can't keep it safe, well, we know how bad TriMet is with safety of you know, personal information. They'll leak it out within a month or two of everyone who signed up, because that's just what they do. So do you really want to start thinking about getting one of those hot passes and having your personally identifiable information released to the public or to, you know, to political campaigns? Because TriMet's all about the money, and that's exactly what they'll do with that information if they can do it. So make sure you watch for that. So anyway, so without further ado, Joe Kunzler, again, he's from the Seattle area. Follow him on Twitter at @SupportST3. And again, folks, have a great Saturday. We have Joe here with us this week. Joe, thank you for taking some time for this interview. I really appreciate it.
You are quite welcome. I'm happy to talk with other transit advocates about the importance of public transportation and why we need to make public transportation really work for the people and not just for a handful of people. And I'm also coming down later in this month to tour the world-famous 123rd Fighter Squadron and then subject myself to the world of hell that is TriMet.
You could definitely say that, especially coming up this weekend when it's supposed to be over 100 degrees. That's pretty much what TriMet is going to be.
I'll put it this way. I'm coming up the 25th of August. I'm getting out early the 26th, really trying to minimize my TriMet use because, for one, I don't see any fans of TriMet on social media. For instance, there's one with some very profane link. If I just search Twitter for TriMet, it's like, if we add giant air filters on top of MAX trains, your expletive 14 just passed my, like it was hot, try harder. I mean, my God. I mean, TriMet. Here's another one. Nothing like TriMet just canceling one of your streetcar routes for a day when you need to take it on your lunch. Yeah, girl.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Which is really bad. So Joe, you said that you're coming down. So you are not actually in Portland then, is that correct?
That's correct. I live, I'd rather not say exactly where I live, but I live north of Everett, Washington. And I'm a huge transit advocate. And one reason why I don't want to say exactly where I live is I'm on a transit advisory committee. And we really have been instructed not to sound like we're speaking for the committee when we engage with the public. So if I'm a little murky, it's just because of that.
I completely understand. You know, you don't want to give the wrong impression out of the committee that you're representing.
In fact, I'm just representing myself, but I'm on that committee, and I just don't want any misperceptions that I speak for anybody but me, Joe. I support Sound Transit Free because I think Sound Transit Free is going to dramatically improve the lives of so many people. Unlike TriMet, which it has no grade separation, no fans. Your board members that vote unanimously, they even, you know, they have, and then there's this cancer, this, calling it cancer, I think is about right, of all these driver assaults. And I'm like, you know, I hear you talk about it, and I'm so grateful you're talking about it, where we don't seem to have that problem up here, and I don't know what's going on.
That's definitely interesting. Do you think maybe it's just a difference of people up there in you know, Seattle Everett area, or do you think it's more of driver attitude?
I don't know because I haven't been down there yet, but I think part of it's just we don't engage in that kind of behavior up here. You know, we're polite, we're respectful. And I don't get it. You know, I don't get why these drivers assault. I don't get why TriMet went after you the way they did, basically, for what, sending a few automated messages? And yet, what are they doing to nail to the wall violent felons who need to be thrown in jail with, you know, and not allowed out in society ever again?
You know, actually, the same day that I was arrested, there was another person who was arrested for assaulting a TriMet bus driver, and his bail amount was actually less than my bail amount.
I saw that, and I'm like, that's a miscarriage of justice. You know, what about the fact that unlike a bunch of text messages asking tough questions, you have someone with PTSD, which I had from high school bullying. You have someone who may have physical and mental deformities for the rest of their life. One reason why I have a bad back is some of the assaults I took in school, I believe. And, you know, I just think, frankly, TriMet has a world of problems right now. And, you know, my expectations are so low of TriMet that I'm only going to take the Max or the streetcar, that I expect the vehicles to be clean. And I expect the TriMet and the Max to be within the Max and the streetcar to be within 5 minutes of being on time. Is that low enough expectations for you, Elaine?
It should be, and I would hope that they live up to that because that's the standards that they live by.
Yeah, because you know, one of the biggest arguments we're having up here in the Puget Sound is should we invest in this thing called ST-Free or Sound Transit Free? Which is going to provide grade separated transit out to the suburbs and a lot more for our big rural area downtown Seattle. And I'm of the firm view that, you know, after reading what I've read about TriMet and seeing what happens when you get stuck in a bus for 20 minutes to go 4 or 5 blocks, the importance of grade separation, I'm like, why is TriMet trying to expand into T-Guard when they've got a driver assault cancer upon the agency, when they've got, according to, let me check here, the Cascade Policy Institute, some serious financial problems. And, you know, the Cascade Policy Institute, for those that don't know, is the conservative think tank of Oregon, sort of like the Washington Policy Center. So take it with a grain of salt. And correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't Tiger say that they didn't really want TriMet Light Rail in their community when TriMet West is just throwing money out the window out the windows of the West?
You know, here's the funny part, Joe, is when TriMet was building the Green Line out to Clackamas, out in Tigard, the voters voted that any transit development has to go before a vote before it's approved through Tigard. So this upcoming November, there's going to be a vote in Tigard to see if they want light rail or not. And if they don't want light rail, this whole West Side Rail project is pretty much going to die.
You know, I hate saying this. Maybe I'm hypocritical. Maybe I don't know enough. But I am rooting for this ballot measure to fail. I am rooting for it to fail because, quite frankly, it's not going to be grade separated. And grade separation to me is the name of the game in high capacity transit. If you don't have grade separation, you're just putting a bus on rails and having that bus stop in traffic. So you're just wasting money, you know?
Exactly.
I'd rather just have little buses, maybe even automated buses, go through and automatically stop at every single stop and operate on Tesla autopilot and operate on these big Tesla batteries. And, you know, maybe it might be better to have a tax on everyone instead of a collective fare, because God knows if you don't have a transit operator, how are you going to collect an honest fare and stop somebody from cheating?
That's true.
I mean, these transit operators are, you know, from your podcast, and I strongly encourage people to listen to some of your recent episodes, like, I would say, you know, episode 9 and even episode 1, you know, these transit operators are having to become beat cops without a badge and a gun to collect what? $2 a ride, a $5 all day pass. And then they get assaulted, and then they have to go right back to work with no time off, no free hugs, no free cup of coffee, no free massage, no free donuts, no... Did they even have the right to seek medical care of any kind after getting assaulted?
They are given the option if they need medical, but usually what will happen is the supervisor, or you know, usually the dispatcher, will encourage the... Well, let me take this back. The underlying rule is that you continue driving the bus. Now, the dispatchers will say, do what you want to do and encourage the driver to make their own decision. Same way with the supervisor. But when you get down to the nitty-gritty, it's all about keeping that bus on the road and keeping that bus in service. So the more the bus is in service, the more that TriMet makes money. And that's all that the manager, that's all that the upper management cares about, is getting that money into, you know, into the TriMet stream.
Even though the fare doesn't cover anywhere near the complete cost of running a bus.
Oh, not even close. I think, as I remember correctly, the last budget, 2016-2017, showed, I think, 15% of the operating revenue came from fares. Somewhere between 15 and 17%.
I would encourage everyone to listen to your episode 5 where you discussed the TriMet budget. It was your best episode so far.
Thank you. Thank you. That was kind of an incredible one, seeing all the numbers broken down like that.
I think that's where you provide a real service to transit users, is when you engage in that level of journalism, because quite frankly, the mainstream media are just getting savaged. I mean, I've got a friend of mine, I won't say who, and have her more embarrassed than she already is, but she used to be an award-winning journalist in Portland and then got some political journalism up in Washington State, and her husband had a new job in Idaho, and she's now doing public relations, and it just is horrible to me how We're having all these PR flacks and all these cute little 20-something pixie doll journalists.
Yep.
Pixie doll and Ken Barbie journalists try to be cute and cool, and they don't know half what they're supposed to be asking, versus PR flacks and they're trying to make a mortgage, trying to make a kid's college savings payment. So it falls to guys like you to actually cut for the spin and put the facts out there.
And I do happen to, I'm not going to mention the name either, but I do happen to know that reporter that you were talking about. So yes, and she did a great job here in Portland, and I do, you know, and I do miss her coverage as well on you know, tough stories. She was great at that.
Well, I'll send her a link to the podcast and say when, but you know, I just don't want to cause her any trouble in her new job, and I hope you understand.
No, I totally understand. Not a problem. And I'm not going to mention any names either. You don't have to worry about that.
Thanks. Trying to be a class act, trying to support people in the journalism industry, whether they're nonprofit like you and me, or they're able to make it in the big wigs.
So now, you've actually ridden on multiple transit systems up there in the Seattle area, correct?
Yes, I've rode Skagit Transit, I've rode Island Transit, I've rode Everett Transit, I've rode Community Transit, King County Metro, and yes, Sound Transit buses, light rail, Sounder, which is basically your West on steroids. I mean, I gotta tell you, look. You know, Sounder North is nice, but I'd rather replace it with something more cost-effective than throwing money out the window, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, and you can't really justify putting ads on the side of a train that half the train's facing the ocean. That's Sounder North for you.
Oh my gosh. I mean, look at our Max trains. I mean, you know, our Max trains, you know, at least on the west side, most of the trains are about by themselves on it. They're in undeveloped areas, and they have their own right of way because all that's there are train tracks.
And that's the way it should be. You know, if you're gonna lay down rail, then have it its own area. You know, don't have it go through street sections and bill taxpayers for it. God, no.
No. I mean, if you look at the Max on the east side, okay, it is what they've done and what they did back in the when they built it back in the 80s, they made it so that you have Burnside Street separated, one lane in each direction, separated by the Max train. Now, the actual tracks are about 2 feet below the road, and they have steel or they have cement blocking between the road and the light rail. But they also allow people to turn. They have areas you can turn, to make left-hand turns. There are other places that says no left-hand turn, but every single intersection has a flashing indicator when the Max is coming. And what
right.
happens is these people try to beat the Max, and they end up getting hit by the Max.
Same thing happens in the Rainier Valley with Sound Transit 1 light rail. I mean, and that's when we really learned as transit advocates up here, we have to have grade separation, because I'm looking right now on Google Earth at Burnside Street, and you know, I see where the Max makes the big swoop in on Burnside, and you know, there's Max stations in the street, just like in the Rainier Valley, where we've had all these accidents up here. And it's just, you know, you've got to have, I cannot stress enough that if there are any TriMet fans out there, which I highly doubt, but if there are, they should be telling TriMet, you need to not be doing this crap. You need to be getting the rail on its own right of way, elevate it. You know, maybe instead of building into T-guard where nobody wants it, why not just put the damn rail on a stick and have it float over the traffic? Then you'd get some schedule reliability out of it. God.
That would work. That would absolutely work. I mean, look, if you pull up Google Maps, and you're going to love this, pull up Pioneer Courthouse Square, Portland, Oregon, and you can actually see the MAX is literally at the same level of road as cars, right in downtown Portland.
Oh, thank you for accelerating what I was about, my knockdown argument, which is, I look at this and I'm like, how the heck am I supposed to keep a schedule? I mean, all it takes, I'm looking at in 3D, like I'm actually walking down, say, Southwest Yamhill Street, mm-hmm. walking past the Pacific Building. I see cars there. I'm like, you know what? You know, and then the TriMet station. What's to stop a car from just parking itself in the way of the tracks?
I'll tell you what stops it. Little bumps, little circular bumps about 6 inches wide that separate the MAX lane and the traffic lane.
Well, that's nice in theory if everyone's polite and everyone's respectful with their bloody, god-awful, tree-killing, earth-poisoning, single-occupancy vehicle, but, you know, come on, or with their earth-friendly Lyft, or their earth-friendly, somewhat earth-friendly Uber, and, God, yes, I think Lyft and Uber are important to a city. I also think limousine services are important to a modern city. But, you know, all it takes is one jerk ignoring those bumps and just driving on over. And why are you spending all this money tearing up the road?
Now, here's the best part, too. Okay? If you look at 5th and 6th Avenues, 5th and 6th Avenues, you'll see, like, if you go to 5th and South, or wait, 6th Avenue and Southwest Salmon, you can see that the MAX runs literally down the middle of the road on 6th Avenue.
I'm looking north and I'm like, what the hell? Who fucked this up? You know,
you can see the MAX track go right down the street, can't you?
I can also see a Porsche in Google Earth literally right over the tracks. Yes, I love Porsches. But, you know, there's buses. And I'm like, you know, TriMet, I got to hope and believe there are some people in TriMet Public Affairs who are actually earning their paychecks and listening to this podcast instead of just writing press releases and going ooey gaga over whatever they go gaga over. But as I go in Google Earth, let me, it's Southwest 6th Avenue. I'm looking, Durian's Shoe Repair to Port, Macy's to Starboard, and there's a big fat TriMet bus right over the rails. And I'm like, TriMet, for the love of God, why are you expanding into suburbs when you should be lifting the rails, putting them on, or tunneling like Seattle finally did for their buses, and then that became a light rail tunnel?
That's what they do.
And they wonder why when you go to, for instance, Twitter, and you type in TriMet, I see a tweet from my nemesis, Alier Pouster. What happened to a TriMet life? Another guy says, TriMet, stay safe in the very warm winter to come this week, starting Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Let's read an air tweet about TriMet. Well, I'm just going to scroll up and down randomly. I'm just going to pick one out at random.
Okay.
Ah, Eric H.
Oh, good old Eric Hallstatt at SP_RedElectric, my nemesis.
The lovely TriMet authority kicked my kids off a bus for having a valid dayfare, so why should we obey authority? Yep. If TriMet doesn't apologize to my kids and I will just ride for free.
Wow. That's impressive.
I mean, let's do an internet search for TriMet and try to find somebody less notorious. And Jessica Spiegel, do you know who she is?
I have no idea who she is.
That's the point. Hey, TriMet, are there help buttons on MAX trains? Nothing critical, but a drunk guy harassed a couple girls enough they disembarked. And then it was 4 hours ago. from at A-N-D-I-A-M-O. Her name, she says she's Jessica S-B-I-E-G-E-L. And then she tweets again. And I was just curious if there's any way for passengers to alert the driver of something like that.
Well, usually...
Didn't you just do a podcast on these broken help buttons?
I sure did. Episode number 2.
Yep, you did. And I remember listening to it and prepping for tonight. And I'm just... My God. You know, TriMet, just fix what you've got. You don't need to expand. You need to do what Bart is doing in San Francisco and put in a huge ballot measure to fix what you got.
Do you want to know how much TriMet spent on the Orange Line and that new Telecom Crossing bridge?
I rather like the I hope I don't offend you when I say I think the Telecom. I'm coming down to Portland, the beautiful Telecom Crossing bridge.
I think the bridge was needed. The light rail was not. That's how I feel about it.
Well, you know, it's like I said before, you know, if you're going to spend the money on light rail and not just more buses, then you need to separate the light rail from cars. Nothing against limos, nothing against lifts, nothing against Ubers, nothing against cyclists, nothing against carpools. But if you're going to spend the money on light rail, grade, separate, and maintain what you got.
Right. And you know, of course, TriMet, what they did was they made the buses and the Max go on the same, use the same area, each, you know, one lane in each direction. So if the Max, for some reason, gets stalled out on the bridge, or a bus gets stalled out on the bridge, basically the bridge shuts down that direction.
And there's a museum right at the end of that bridge I want to go to. It's a train museum.
Yep. So pray that the bus in front of the train or the train in front of the bus does not break down on you.
I would hope they would let people walk across, let them out and walk across the damn bridge at that point.
Only unless they deem it necessary for safety.
You know, I realize I'm only talking to you. I'm not, you know, again, it goes back to the bias issue, and I'm not attacking you. I'm not accusing you of anything. But because I haven't heard or had a conversation with a TriMet fan, or dare I say, TriMet apologist, or TriMet PR flack.
Good luck trying to get a hold of TriMet PR. They don't like me in the PR department.
Yeah, because you tell the truth.
Exactly.
And I'm sure they're not going to like me. I'm sure they're not going to like the fact that, you know, I've just said some very critical things of them. But, you know, I'm from a place where when we learn the hard way with Sound Transit 1, you do not, and watching you guys, you do not do what these silly people at TriMet are doing and lay rail where cars drive over it. You separate the rail.
I'm waiting for the day, and actually this has happened, where the bus, a TriMet bus, has actually hit a TriMet Max train.
You know, with my luck in life, that'll probably happen the day I'm there, and my camera will, I won't have my camera out when the collision happens.
At least get pictures of it immediately afterwards, because those pictures will be priceless.
I fully intend to charge the maximum rights and values for it so I can afford a date night with some 20-something chick mainstream journalist who's got nothing else better to do. It'll be a good date, too. Wine, the best Portland roses, yep. Candles. We'll even have it on the Telecom Bridge. I'll even have it on the Telecom Bridge if it makes her happy.
Oh, my God.
Because that's how much I fully expect the pictures of that crash to sell for.
And make sure you take Uber there.
Oh, I'll try to take Uber, except here's a problem. I'm on Google Earth right at Moody Avenue, and it's like, do not enter bus lane.
That's, you know what? There have been people, there have been cars on that bridge. Even though it says do not enter, cars have driven over that bridge before.
did they get ticketed? Or
nope.
They just, oh.
Because nobody could get there in time. Because here's the thing. You're gonna love this, okay? So TriMet runs, let's see, 8 supervisors per shift, an AM shift and a PM shift, okay?
Okay.
So the AM shift starts at 5 AM, goes till 2 PM. The PM shift goes from about 1 PM to 10 PM. And then from 10 PM till pretty much end of day, which is about 2:30 or 3 AM, there are 2 supervisors for the entire transit area.
Now, why do you even need 2 supervisors? What do they do that's so important towards ticketing somebody who drives over a bridge? You can't have a red light camera there that takes a picture of every single vehicle driving over, and if you see a private vehicle, you get the license plate, you send them the citation, and you say if you don't pay within 30 days, you have a court date.
Well, the problem is people don't like red light cameras, and TriMet doesn't want to invest the money in the upkeep of a red light camera. So they think the signs that say do not enter and the big, you know, neon sign that says do not enter will be enough because Portland works on the honesty system here.
Oh, the same honesty system that is drivers being assaulted.
Mm-hmm. And the same honesty system that does not have gates at their transit centers or Ferris wheels like New York City or anywhere like that, you know, counter systems.
We don't have that up here in the Puget Sound area. We don't have turnstiles like up in Vancouver, BC or New York City, but you know, we do have fare enforcement cops all over the light rail. You know, always checking. I appreciate that. I don't know what it's like down there, so I'm not going to comment. But I'm a big supporter of fare enforcement officers doing what they should be doing. It should be their job to ride not just the MAX, but the buses and check fares. You know, that's not the job of the driver. Driver doesn't have a badge and a gun and, you know, handcuffs.
Yep.
And like you keep saying, you know, if you see a situation, you've got to step in, you know, whether it's yanking out your camera, calling 911 or physically intervening, whatever level you're comfortable with, you got a moral obligation to your fellow human being who might have a family at home, who might, you know, have taken the job because after the Great Recession, it was the only job they could get. You know, you got an obligation to step in. Right, Lane?
Agreed. And that's what I say. And, you know, when I'm talking about driver assaults is, you know, for people to step in and make a difference.
Exactly. You know, I've never had that situation up in Skagit County, or Island County, or King County, or Snohomish County. And you know, when somebody's having trouble paying their fare, I'll just yank a dollar bill out and pay their fare for them because I'd rather pay their fare, pay the dollar, be a good Samaritan, because a day may come when I may need a spare dollar bill because some transit agencies. The only way you can pay fares with dollar bills, and guys like me who are in our 30s, we're cashless if we can get away with it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm getting to that point too. It's just easier not to carry cash. You know, use your card, and everything works.
Exactly. You know? And that's what I just find, you know, but just absolutely abominable is people aren't stepping up to deal with this driver assault problem. And needs to be dealt with. It needs to be dealt with very firmly. I mean, the next person that does it should be literally perp walked in front of the press, and the press should have to earn their wardrobe pay or whatever they get for their thousands of dollars of wardrobe. And I'm picking on the guys too. I'm picking on the guys with their suits too. Not just the ladies, but the guys.
Yep.
Being gender neutral here and saying, look, you got to earn your paychecks, guys, and you got to be part of the solution here. And the next time a driver's assaulted, you got to make sure the person who did it is arrested. You've got to cover that whole judicial process because this is a community problem, and I don't want this problem up in Washington State.
Yeah. And as it continues here in Portland, it is going to spread. And, you know, it's not going to stay in Portland. It's going to continue because the problem is a lot of these people, you know, even though TriMet management says, you know, we're going to find you, we're going to prosecute, blah, blah, blah crap, you know, that was 3-4 years ago. Yet it's still going on. And there are still operators who are getting assaulted and nobody's getting caught.
Yeah. And I'm like, you know, don't these buses have cameras on them? Shouldn't there be a reward of like $5,000 to $10,000 at least for information leading to the arrest, prosecution, and maximum sentencing with enhancements?
It is $1,000.
Make it $5,000.
I agree.
I mean, personally, I would hope that I'm man enough, if God forbid I was in that situation and I was offered that money, I'd at least give some of it back to the driver and their family to help with the recovery, even though I'm in I'm on a fixed income, let me put it that way. I'd hope I'd give some of it to help that driver recover, but
yeah.
Up the reward, you do something, TriMet, because I know damn good well, I've been in politics for too long. Ever since I was a little boy, my dad ran for office. If there's one thing these political animals, where they're TriMet political animals, or they're, which I'm sure your boy McFarlane, from what I hear, is, because he wants his damn light rail expansion with no grade separation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nice to know that I'm a good listener of your podcast.
I appreciate it. I very much appreciate it, Joe.
Because it needs to be dealt with. It really, you know, it hits home for me because I have a disability. I can't drive. And I can't afford a cab to haul me around in the back seat of a vehicle everywhere I want to go. I mean, or a Bombardier Q400 turboprop to come to my local airport and haul my Yankee ass all around.
Exactly.
So, you know, people need to step up on this. But there's one last thing I want to bring up, and you really haven't touched on this yet, Lane, but I went through in 2014, 2015, a fiscal meltdown with Island Transit on Whidbey Island, and it was within a few weeks of the agency going bankrupt. And it seems to me that, it was 2014, 2015, Martha Rose, the then Island Transit Director, resigned in September, resigned September 19th, 2014. I wanted to check the years to be sure. She had to resign because she did not monitor the agency finances. And while they were building this Taj Mahal great monument, the reserves were being spent down, the Great Recession was going, and they're almost out of cash. At several points, they had to wait to mail out checks until they had cash in the bank.
Wow.
Yeah, that was Island Transit. And one reason why I want to reach out to Portland Transit advocates like yourself, and hopefully at some point to Cascade Policy Institute, is I want to sound the alarm to you guys down there. I want to sound the alarm that some of the things I'm seeing about TriMet from CascadePolicy.org and from you, and from this Al Yerpaester, when he doesn't sound crazy, which he does quite a bit. I got to say, he's got to dial it back, you know. I mean, he's got to dial it back and apologize for some of the more comparing public transportation to Nazism. That was just over the line. I'm sorry, Al. I get a lot of what he's saying, but you know, I really want to sound the alarm 40 or so minutes into this podcast that you've got to watch the finances of TriMet, and you've got to get them under control and focused on getting the fiscal books in order, staying in the black, providing quality service, maintaining and repairing what they've already got, and long-term, instead of expanding light rail at surface through surface streets, get the damn light rail off of the surface streets, for God's sakes. I mean, for crying out loud, there is this thing called tunnels. There is this thing called elevated towers. There is this thing called schedule reliability. And I know all of this stuff because I had a former transit planner who's now moved to Oregon from our area, who loaned me a textbook on transit. And I've done my own reading as well. And you've got to have grade separation to get schedule reliability. And once you have schedule reliability, like it's every 10 minutes, it's going to be there on time. You're going to at least have a place to stand for 10 or 15 minutes. you know, and hopefully a place to sit beyond that. And that Sound Transit experience with U-Link, or the beginnings of Sound Transit 2, you're going to have a reliable system that you're going to have fans, and you're not going to have to do half, you're not going to have to pay for transit fans, and you're not going to Twitter and do search for TriMet. And let's do one more round of reading TriMet tweets into the record. Here's TriMet. Okay, TriMet. Esmerda Rojas at TIA_ESME 10 minutes ago. At the TriMet driver who was supposed to start this bus 6 plus minutes ago. You're fired. My God.
Yep.
Versus Sound, let's do a search for Sound Transit. You know, I mean, the other transit agencies, they don't really have a presence, but let's see. Sound Transit, Rideau Alerts, Seattle Express delays due to a collision. Sound Transit, you didn't include John Morgan, a very deep blue progressive Bernie bot. Sound Transit, you didn't include affordable homes until the neighborhood forced you to. ST falsely claimed it had. Joan Miller, Sound Transit bumps up timelines for next phases of light rail. You think you ever see that about TriMet? No.
Nope.
You ever think you'll see a tweet from at Dogs Best, DAWGS Best, it's for University of Washington. Will there be any special service for the Seahawks game on Thursday? Asking Sound Transit. Yeah. And Kristen Dubrell at Knothead 02. Actual data would be nice. I take Uber 3-4 times per office as a link related to bus changes. The tone is just so dramatically different. I mean, there is some criticism, but it's...
But it's not... Nothing like TriMet's.
Yeah. I hope to God the public affairs people at TriMet are not just goofing off and playing Sim City or Sim Train or Train Simulator or, you know, doing their hair or God knows what they do. I'm sorry. I'm crossing the line and making allegations that have no basis in fact, just supposition, but
I know what they're doing. We're gonna close on this, but I know exactly what they're doing. You want to know what they're doing in the office?
Yes.
Playing Pokemon Go.
So they run around and chase the little phantom monsters and try not to get hit by their own max drains. They want to send the T-Guard.
Exactly.
For the love of God, T-Guard. And I want to do this interview again in September or October with you and discuss my experiences with TriMet on the 25th of August. I'm going to say it again, hopefully say this again, that T-Guard, you've got to vote no on TriMet expansion.
Another one rides the bus. Another one rides the bus. Ow! Another one rides the bus. Hey, hey! Another one rides the bus.